Our scripture passage this morning is Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. If you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a ruler and a commander of the people. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. See the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bush will grow a juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renowned and everlasting song that will endure forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Every year, as this Christmas season comes around, we're reminded of a lot of different traditions. Traditions that you might have, like going out and seeing Christmas lights in the evening, or baking cookies with family members, or maybe it's just a holiday party here or there that you normally have with friends, or those traditions that you have on Christmas morning that you have to do something before you open those presents, or you have to go to church before you can go and be with family and open your gifts, or whatever those traditions might be. I found an interesting article this week that says that people are kind of getting over traditions, or at least those ones that we would feel are kind of normal for this Christmas season. Like, the article said that people are kind of over having the traditional turkey dinner for Christmas, that they'd rather have burgers on Christmas Day. And when I read that, I was like, well, that's kind of cold, standing out there by the grill and making burgers on Christmas morning. Maybe that would work a little bit better if you're in the South, where it's warmer. But some of the other things that people wanted to give up were kind of dressing up on Christmas, and they'd rather just lounge around their house in pajamas all day. Maybe they wanted to stay home as opposed to go out and be with family that day. And it's a bit interesting that we as a culture are starting to give up some of these traditions, because traditions in some sense make us feel like part of something bigger. If you as a family have a tradition to go to a Christmas Eve service every year, it kind of ushers you into the bigger story of all of humanity in celebrating the birth of the Savior that was given to us. some of those other traditions that we have around the holidays, like a lot of people like volunteering or giving monetarily to organizations during this time of year. Those are other traditions that help us see that we're part of something bigger in the world, that it's not just ourselves, but we as a human being are connected with other human beings and all part of this creation that God has made. But if we give up traditions, and a lot of those traditions that they kind of named in this article I read, like having that big family dinner, wanting to give that up, or getting dressed up and going to your grandma's house or wherever you celebrate Christmas, you give those up and kind of stay home in your pajamas all day, that you're not finding yourself in that bigger story anymore. And maybe we've lost what those traditions are supposed to do as connect us to this bigger story that we're a part of. And maybe we just view traditions now as that thing that we always do, and we just kind of don't know why we do them. We just do them because they're traditions. But we as humans are spiritual beings. God has created in us this desire to be part of something bigger, to be part of His creation, and to work and live and be with others and with our Creator. But if we aren't living that way, we have this longing, this desire that just doesn't get filled, but maybe we try and fill it with other things to see if that will be the thing that will solve us and make us feel whole and right. So maybe we don't fill it with church anymore, and then we go and we try to fill that spiritual void that we have with work. So we pour our entire beings into our work, and we hope that in some sense that we'll feel that we've reached and accomplished that desire in our life through working. But oftentimes that doesn't work, or when you come to the end of your career and you retire, then you have no sense of identity anymore, no sense that you're part of something bigger in the world. God created us with this desire to be part of something bigger. And in our passage this morning in Isaiah 55, he calls to those who know that there's this desire in their life that just isn't being filled, that there's a thirst that isn't being quenched. And God in this passage is calling out to His people to come to Him, the one who is truly able to satisfy their desires and their needs. It starts out, the passage this morning, with an invitation from God. He says, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." God is inviting those who feel thirsty, who feel hungry, maybe not physically, but spiritually, deep within them. They know there's something that isn't right in their life. They've tried filling it with those traditions, or maybe with work or family or whatever that might be. You probably know, if you're kind of thinking back through those things that you've tried to find satisfaction in and just doesn't seem like you can reach it, that those who know, they have that inward desire in themselves for something more. God is inviting them to come to the waters, buy the food that He is offering. This food is at no cost. He said, "Those who have no money, come and buy from Me." So He's giving this gift freely from Himself. In verse 2, He asked them to reflect on where their priorities are. Maybe their priorities were misplaced, and they've just, again, come to the end of the rope and don't know where to go. He says, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Why do you keep running after these things who can't fulfill you, who don't bring you satisfaction? Why do you keep going after them? You've done the same thing over and over, and it's not bringing you that satisfaction of life any longer. Come, listen to me. Give ear so that you may live. Then God talks about the promise, the covenant that he made with his people. In this example, he uses the covenant he made with David, that David was going to have this everlasting kingdom where he was going to rule over it forever and ever, his lineage would. And it would be kind of a sign, a vision, a foretaste of what God was going to do. That through God's people, he was going to bring the water that quenched any thirst, the bread that was given freely to eat from, and to find true satisfaction in, that all of this was going to come through the promises that God had made to his people throughout history. He uses this example of David and his covenant as a way to kind of show how he was going to do this throughout his work. But he also says it's probably not going to look like what you think it is, that I'm talking about water who's going to quench thirst, bread that you don't have to spend money on to buy, but it's not going to be those physical things. It says right after that that God's ways are higher than our ways, that his knowledge is greater than ours. So it's probably not going to be what we expect it to be. So it's not going to be some tap that we can go up to in our house and turn it on and get a cup of water and drink from it whenever we want it. It won't be a loaf of bread in our pantry that you just keep pulling bread from and it never seems to stop. It's going to be something greater than that. Something that's going to satisfy more than a glass of water can, even after you've been parched for a long time. It's going to taste better than any homemade sourdough bread can be. And God is giving it freely for those who come and seek and find him. At the end of Isaiah chapter 55, he concludes with these words. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bushes will grow juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renowned and everlasting sign that will endure forever. He paints a picture of what it will look like when this promise comes true, that he's going to give this water that gives you life, this bread that nourishes you both physically and spiritually, that when his covenant promises come true, that everything wrong in the world, the thorn bushes and the briars, will be turned to goodness, to life, to junipers and myrtle bushes. What once harmed is now there for our good. Total reversal of creation is what is being talked about here in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 is fulfilled when Jesus comes and we hear a story of Jesus and a Samaritan woman at a well in John chapter 4. If you remember that story, the Samaritan woman comes to the well at noontime, which is kind of an odd time to come, the hottest point of the day usually started by women going to the well and getting the water that they needed for the day, or if they ran out, they go in the evening again to get enough water to last them throughout the night. But no one went at noon because that was the hottest time, the hardest time to get water. But yet the Samaritan woman was going then because she was a bit of an outcast in her society, that None of the other women maybe wanted to be there with her at the same time, drawing up water with her. But Jesus meets her there and says, I know you're longing for something more. This is an example of one of those people who have tried to find satisfaction in life and hasn't found it yet because they've been looking in the wrong place. The Samaritan woman was looking in her religion for fulfillment, and that wasn't working out. She was looking at it through those multiple marriages she had, and that wasn't working out for her. And Jesus knew that and met her there at that well and told her, come to me and drink. I have water that when you drink of it, you will never thirst again. Echoes those words from the first verse of Isaiah 55. Come and drink the water that I have, and you will never thirst again. Jesus offers the Samaritan woman to drink from the living water, which is Christ. Other places, he offers his body and his blood for us as bread and as wine. Jesus is the one who satisfies our longings. Jesus is the one who we go to find an everlasting source of life. In Jesus Christ, he is the one who turns the thorn bushes and the briars into the myrtle bush and the juniper bush. In Jesus Christ, he reverses all that is wrong with the world and makes it right again. And Jesus is the one who offers us everlasting life. He's the one who offers the living water. And as we prepare for the birth of our Savior again, we also listen for Jesus Christ. We are reminded that Christmas is more about traditions, more than just giving gifts or gatherings. It's about God's incredible gift to humanity. That Jesus Christ was born for us, not merely to inspire us, but to save us from sin and bring us into eternal life. The proclamation that Mary gives after she hears from the angel what is about to happen to her, she bursts forth in song. Mary, another person who God delivers from that situation of longing into wholeness. And these are the words in Mary's song. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my soul rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of one humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He performs mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent away the rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised their ancestors. Her song captures the heart of Christmas. Jesus didn't come just to establish fleeting traditions or offer us a shallow peace. He came as our Savior, meeting our deepest needs and reconciling us to God. This Christmas, let's embrace Jesus, the gift that we've been given, the source of living water, the bread of life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that during this Advent season, that just as you have promised us in Isaiah 55, that you offer us living water and bread that nourishes and sustains us physically and spiritually. And God, we thank you that all your promises that you made to your people come to their fullness in Christ Jesus, that he is the living water, that he is the bread of life. God, we pray that we might turn aside all those idols who we try to run after and find satisfaction in, that we might look to Christ alone for our strength, for our nourishment, for our life. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.